Is it gonna be a ball court there or what?
I wish. I wish.
Yo, I'm actually excited to see it, man.
Yeah, there's so many ballers coming to the wedding too. We could have a pretty good basketball game.
Somebody, what do you mean?
Like our entire group is going for once. Louis's going. We got some good players going.
Yeah, this group is washed, bro.
Oh man. I still believe in us, okay?
Why?
We have probably more talent than the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, we could definitely beat them.
Yo, if we were athletic enough, yes. But skill level alone, I can confidently say that we are better than the Charlotte Hornets.
I would destroy Terry Rozier.
Scary Terry.
Alrighty. Now can we record, Josh?
Yeah, I guess so.
What's up, everybody? And welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line, I got my pick-and-pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
Very excited to be here.
Okay. That was unexpected. The banger in the paint, Rajan Walia, how you feeling?
Pretty good. We're, what, 48 hours away?
Yeah, this is going to release on Tuesday, so we're, let's say, like 6 hours away. 6 hours from finally... The Raptors finally get their championship rings. Obviously, you're going to miss some guys. A little bit of the finals MVP won't be there, but who cares? After 25 years.
Don't forget, the fans get the championship rings, too.
Yo, you know,
faux championship
you know rings. How much tickets are going to that for that game?
300.
Ooh, way more than that, man.
Damn.
The nosebleeds, really? Like, top of the 300s, when I looked, it was like 500 or 600 minimum.
Oh, my
God. That's almost... That's almost finals the same prices. Yes, exactly. Almost the same as the finals prices. How crazy is that? I like you
all
get a replica
watch
ring,
Brandon
but
Ingram
damn.
Replace Zion at power forward.
Yeah, like what? You're going to watch Derek Favors, bro? Come on, man.
And Etwan Moore.
Yeah, he's off the bench at least. You can see JJ Redick. Hooray! All right, well, we're gonna do our. Awards previews. We're going to pick who we like for each of the major awards, your MVPs, your Defensive Player of the Year, Sixth Man, so on and so on. But this is more so just so we get it all on record. No one's going to be backpedaling saying that, oh yeah, you know, I chose this guy instead. I chose Kawhi for MVP, but da da da. Nah, now we got you on record. We're going to start it off with the top award. Obviously, it's the most important one. The MVP, I'm going to go with Steph. I think he's back. Klay's not there anymore for the year at least. KD is way gone. This guy's going to have the full offensive burden on his back. Yo, Steph is going to do some heroic numbers this year. That's all I can say.
Yeah, like just to build on that, I think Steph will have great numbers, especially the fact that James Harden and Westbrook play on the same team. Like, these guys have been putting up crazy numbers for the last 4 or 5 years, or 3 or 4 years. And now, like, Steph has, he doesn't have his partner in crime, and he's really going to carry a lot of that offensive burden in terms of just putting up points. Because besides Steph, there isn't really a guaranteed, 20-point starter on the team, especially with all the rumors that D'Angelo Russell is going to be coming off the bench or splitting minutes with Curry. I really think Curry's definitely one of the top MVP candidates, but I don't think he's going to win it this year, but I think he'll be in the running.
Who do you like?
Oh, it's tough. I think Giannis is like the easy pick, but I'm going to probably say that Anthony Davis is probably going to put up monster numbers for the Lakers.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they're really going to try to showcase on what kind of player he is, and especially with all the hype around the Lakers and the attention that they're going to be getting. I think he's going to be on a lot of primetime games. And I think he's going to put up great numbers. I wouldn't be surprised if he averages like 26 points, like 11 rebounds, like 4 or 5 assists a game, and shoots the ball incredibly well. And this team's going to do really well. So
thing is with Davis, so like the only way he's going to win is if he plays 75 games. I think even with 70, like the Lakers aren't going to be a top 3 seed in the Western Conference. I think he has to play at least 75. They get a top 3 seed And his numbers have to be even beyond that, I think. I think they have to be at like 28 points a game and 12 to 13 rebounds. And his defensive stats have to be top-notch because the last couple of years, his defense has fallen off a little bit. Not through a fault of his own, obviously. His team hasn't been that great, but he's really got to be the anchor. Sort of like the same way, you know, Joel Embiid and Rudy Gobert have been the last few years for their teams.
Yeah, you don't think he can play 75 games, though, or 70? Before last year, for the past, like, 4 years or so, he's been cranking out, like, 70 games a year.
I think it's definitely possible, but, you know, with this team, they're going to really depend on those two guys, because around them, they just have a bunch of parts, really. A bunch of guys that are, like, really inconsistent. They only have, you know, Danny Green, who's consistent on the defensive end, and Kuzma, who should have a better season this year with all the open shots he's going to get. But the rest of the guys are just bit players, essentially, I think.
That's what you said about Josh Hart last year. All those open looks, perfect teammate for LeBron, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I was definitely wrong about that one. Now he's barely going to play on the team that he's on.
Yeah.
He's lucky.
Yeah. Josh, who do you like for MVP?
I got Joel Embiid.
I think this is the year
where everything comes together for Philadelphia. They're going to get their number one seed. Philadelphia is going to be the top defensive team in the NBA, which I think is going to lead to him also winning another award, but we'll get to that in a moment.
Wow, no way.
No.
think what a tease.
It's funny that you mentioned playing 70 games or a minimum of 70 games for Anthony Davis. I would be surprised if Joel Embiid plays over 67 games for the Philly. I think they don't care as much about the regular season. I think they're still going to be a top team in the East, and they're going to want to make sure that the best Embiid they get is playoff time, not in the regular season.
See, I disagree with you there. I think that they really care about the regular season this year because they know how important it is to get a top seed and be, in this case, a number one seed against one of the best teams in the, you know, whole NBA with Milwaukee, because last year they played Toronto, and if Philadelphia had home court advantage, chances are they probably would have won that series. So I think they're going to be really going for the first seed. And I think they have a better regular season team this year just because of how good their defense is projected to be. And I think because of that, and because they have Horford now, I don't think Embiid has to play as much, which leads me to believe that he's going to play more games. He's going to play less minutes, but he's going to play more games this year.
So do you think he gets like 70, 75 games?
I think he's going to play 70. I think he's going to play, you know, I don't think normally he plays like 33, 34 minutes a game, but I think with Horford now, and them not bleeding points when Embiid's out of the game like he did against Toronto, like that stat from last year in the playoffs where they were like, I think they're minus 95 with him off the court in a 7-game series where he played like 36 minutes a game. That's incredible. So he's not going to have to play nearly as much with Horford, you know, manning the paint at center when he's off the court and those lineups probably being even at least. So I think he's going to play like 30 to 31 minutes a game, and then he should be able to play 70 games where he's not as, you know, physically tired.
Yeah.
It's funny how we're like kind of overlooking Giannis because like all the expectations are the Bucks are going to be a very good team this year. We know that Giannis is, out of all these players, probably the most likely to play like 70 plus games. And their team is probably going to be a top two team in the East, and he's going to be the guy spearheading it, and obviously he's the former MVP. I wouldn't be surprised if he puts up as good numbers as he did last year, and he's truly a two-way player. So like he's also a threat. I think he's probably like he's definitely in the top three in all of our MVP candidates, but I don't know.
He's done, man. I think he's done getting it because the narrative is over. Like last year, he was a fresh new face. He was obviously the most one of the most athletic players. He had everything to give. He was super, like, he's a really intense guy, but also a really nice guy off the court. All that stuff plays into how the media is going to portray him, right? And then as a result, all the voters who are media members will just be like, hey, this guy's great. I love Giannis. He's putting up astronomical numbers. He's putting up LeBron-like numbers, da-da-da. But he's not going to get that much praise this year. It hasn't happened yet. I haven't heard a single thing about Giannis this summer, to be honest, other than his like no-show in the FIBA World Cup.
The only talk about him is people talking about him leaving in a couple of years, which always seems to happen when guys have 2 years left in their contract.
Cue Anthony Davis.
Yeah, the talks start to begin.
Yeah.
Just,
but I can see him still winning, though, if they win 60 games, and they obviously have less talent on this team this year, I think, with losing Mirotić and losing Malcolm Brogdon, and they replaced them with, you know, Lopez brother and
Lopez brother.
Wes Matthews, which they're good players, but they're not as good, obviously, so it's going to be more of a load for Giannis, I think, to carry this team in the regular season, which he's more than capable of doing, obviously.
But that falls into your, I guess, the reverse of your theory with Joel Embiid, though, right? You know what I mean? Joel Embiid bringing in Al Horford obviously creates someone who's going to help him while he's off the bench, so it makes the whole team better as a whole. Whereas now, you're bringing in Robin Lopez and Wes Matthews to replace Brogdon, who is probably your second or third most important player. It's not really the same effect.
Yeah, but as you said, with the media, I mean, often, and humans in general, they just like new toys, so I think people are going to latch on to Embiid when they see how good Philadelphia
is. Oh, you know the newest toy? It's going to be Nikola Jokic, man.
Yeah, but if he played in any other market but Denver, I would say, like, yeah, he's a real shot. Just he's not going to get that attention, and I think he deserves it. Last year, he was underrated, even though he was an MVP candidate. I think he's underappreciated and underrated, and it's a damn shame, but I don't see him winning it. I think either one of Harden or Westbrook surprisingly have a better chance of winning it than Jokic does.
Jokic is going to be the runner-up.
Bold take.
How about that?
Bold
take.
They're going
to be either the first or second place in the West. Obviously, I'm reneging on what I had earlier, had said earlier this offseason, but I think they're going to be first or second seed, and then he finally gets some love. How about that?
I would love to see him win it.
I think we all would.
I mean, a guy who's like 40 pounds overweight just dominating the league is great.
Yeah, this guy works in the Pepsi Center. I mean, it's just so perfect, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't have water on the bench. They just feed him Pepsi every single time out.
Is it diet Pepsi? Or is it regular?
They probably feed him hot dogs, too. You see how big he is now?
Yo, man, he's like 21, all right? He's still growing. Come on, man.
Oh, my God. You ever seen Nurkic's dad?
No. The hell?
They showed him in the crowd a couple times. He's like a cop from, I think it's Croatia, right?
Nurkic is Bosnian.
Bosnian, so yeah. So his father's like 6'10" and he's like 400 pounds. He's like bigger than Nurkic. It's insane, but I was just going to compare Jokic to him because he actually looks like that dude now.
Wow, okay. 400 pounds.
He honestly looks like he's more than 300 pounds. He looks like Shaq in like Shaq's later years. We could clearly see that Shaq just, you know,
no,
stopped caring.
No, no, come on, trying to get a check out here, but
Jokic is amazing. I mean, like, being able to do that at that weight is just incredible.
He's just got some baby fat on him, is all.
He's just big boned.
Oh, man.
I mean, to do that in sport is just one of the most incredible feats. I mean, there was that world record breaker, like, what was it, two weeks ago?
The marathon runner?
Where he did like the 2 hours, the marathon runner?
Yeah.
I think that Jokic playing 82 games in that condition is almost, you know, almost greater what that guy did in the marathon.
This guy, you're so disrespectful, man. This is going to be your leading MVP runner-up candidate.
Like, imagine what he would do if he was in shape.
I don't think he'd be as good because he knows how to use his body. Right, like the thing that sets Jokic apart from a lot of the new centers is that he's willing to bang inside. He's got great moves. Like a lot of the guys don't have that anymore. He knows how to use his body.
Thank you for posting that picture in the chat as well. You see it now?
Oh, did you just send it?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness, that is a big dude.
Harris Nurkic.
All right. Well, there you go. Yeah, anyway.
Mountain of a man.
Who's got better big man moves than Jokic? Embiid, maybe?
Embiid up there, of course.
I'd say they're one and two.
Close.
1A, 1B.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say Jokic knows how to use his body a bit better, but I think Embiid has better moves.
Yeah. I might have to change my pick. Screw it. I'm changing my pick to Nikola Jokic, guys.
Oh, wow. All right.
I convinced myself. How about that? Sorry, Steph. All right. Well, let's move on. The next award, we have the Defensive Player of the Year. Raj, who you got?
I think this is probably the easiest pick out of them all. I think Rudy Gobert is a lock to win it for three straight years. I think with that team, with the additions, with the continuity, he stays relatively healthy. I think Gobert is a lock. I find it hard to believe any other argument.
I think there's only really three guys in this conversation this year, unless somebody just comes out of nowhere. So I think it's either Giannis, Embiid, or Rudy, because all three guys are going to be on a top five defense, you would think, anyway, unless there's a lot of injuries. And I think it might just depend on who gets the top seed and which of those teams can really separate themselves from the other, not only in terms of defensive efficiency, but just wins overall, and as you said before, the narrative. So with me thinking Embiid's going to have a massive year in Philadelphia, winning near 60 games, I think that he's going to win both, which is a very, very rare feat. I think only, what, maybe one or two guys have done that in the last 20 or 30 years. I think Hakeem was one of them.
Did Hakeem do that?
I think he did. I think he did it 1 year.
I don't know, dude. I really don't think we've seen that. All right.
It's happened. It's happened at least once. But yeah, I think that's going to be a very rare feat that's going to be achieved. And I think Embiid is a type of talent to where, like, he has maybe the most skill out of anybody in terms of, like, bigs in the NBA. And, you know, being that big and being that skilled, it's sort of like Shaq with a jumper almost, but not quite that level of dominance yet because Embiid still hasn't figured everything out.
I was going to say, maybe not a jumper either.
Well, yeah. He's got to stop shooting so many threes. Yeah. He's got to just stay near the basket.
All right. I just looked it up. You are correct. Hakeem did get it in 1994. Who's the other player that has done it?
It was more recent, right?
No, before Hakeem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Jordan?
Yeah, Jordan in 88.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I remember that. It's just three years before you're born. No big deal.
I knew it was coming, though, man. You got to remember every Michael Jordan stat when you're a LeBron hater.
True. All right, how about this one? Who else has won the MVP and Defensive Player of the Year awards during their career? Not in the same year. There's two other players who have done it. In modern history as well.
No, I was going to say Moses Malone, but that doesn't make any sense. I don't think he's that good on defense.
No.
It was a center?
There is one center and one kind of a center, kind of a forward, one of those hybrids.
What about Tim Duncan?
No. Good guess, though. I'm surprised he never got it.
Yeah.
Shaq?
Nah.
I figured 1 year maybe you get like Defensive Player of the Year.
Nah. Good try.
All right, hit us with it.
When you think of Tim Duncan, who else do you think of?
David Robinson.
Yeah, Robinson won DPOY in 92, MVP in 95. Who else do you think of when you think of Tim Duncan?
KG.
KG. MVP 04, DPOY in 08.
There you go.
How about that? So you think Joel Embiid is gonna join the likes of those? Of Jordan and Hakeem?
I think this is the year.
He's not going to play enough games. Like I would be surprised if he hits over 67. I think he's going to hit 65. And I think they're going to still win like 52, 53 games. And just, I think Embiid sits a lot. Like they have Horford as a backup. Like they'll still be competitive in the games that he doesn't play. And I really do think they're going to sit him, especially down the stretch.
Man, that's sad. I'm surprised neither of you picked Kawhi.
No, he's not going to play enough.
You don't think so?
I think he's going to play a lot this year.
I think he plays like 68 to 74 games.
Yeah, but
that's a pretty good amount.
Yeah. I think he'll play more than he did in Toronto, but I won't be. I think he'll play like Embiid, like 65, 67 games. I just think that with all the buzz around the Lakers, and I think they're going to be good, and I think also with Kawhi in LA, like people are going to respect them, but he also has a pretty good partner in crime in Paul George, who's going to be well regarded as well. So his stats might not look as good as,
and who's going to be out for at least the first month.
Yeah, I think Kawhi's going to carry that team. Even when Paul George is back, Kawhi's still going to be the face of their offense and their defense, right? Coming off a finals MVP run, obviously he had like one of the most impressive playoff runs we've seen in a very long time. And it sort of reminded people how good of a defender he was. Like, I hate to say it, but he was kind of not underrated, but overlooked in a sense last year. And that he was on the second all-defense team. Kawhi Leonard. And then once the playoffs came around and he actually turned it on and shut down Giannis, I mean, I think that reminded everyone, like, yo, this is Kawhi. He is probably the... No, he is the best perimeter defender that we have. And he was able to lock up a guy who was like 6'10", 6'11", with those giant hands and massive wingspan.
All right, as you know, as a guy that loves Kawhi Leonard, that whole narrative is just nonsense.
Oh, come on.
Kawhi is not the guy who locked up Giannis. It was everyone. Like, having Marc Gasol and Siakam behind Kawhi, being able to cut off those lanes, and the passing lanes especially, that's the reason why Giannis was not able to do what he was able to do beforehand.
Yeah, but you're telling me Kawhi Leonard covering him isn't a major improvement over Pascal?
No, absolutely. But I'm just saying, like, if they didn't have those two guys behind him, Giannis would have still been roasting.
I don't think so. I think he would have slowed him down a lot.
Well, I guess we're going to have to see this year when they play each other.
Oh, yes, we will. I don't know. I don't know what the hell that was. Maybe the finals.
I don't know what the hell that was.
All right, so who did everyone pick? I got Kawhi.
I got Embiid.
Embiid. Raj?
Rudy.
Yo, Rudy going three? Yeah, I don't see that happening either.
I think they're going to have one of the best defense. He's going to put up monster stats. He's the focal point, or he's the anchor of that defense. Like, he's going to put up great numbers. And he's going to play every game.
Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. It's super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. All right, well, let's move on. Let's go sixth man of the year. Josh, who you got for this one?
For sixth man, it's difficult. There's a lot of guys out there, actually, this year. There's Dinwiddie. I think Gordon Hayward's going to be a candidate. Jeremy Grant in Denver. Bogdanovich, Sacramento. But ultimately, I'm going to go with Dinwiddie. Because they need guys that are able to like make plays off the dribble with KD being out, obviously, and he's probably going to be their third option behind LeVert. But he's going to play a lot this year, and he had a great year last year, and I think that he's going to score a ton of points this year. He might average like around 20 points a game, and I don't think Lou Williams is going to be the conversation this year, because I think the Clippers are going to play him less, especially against the good teams where they need defensive backcourt, especially in the key moments of the game. And I'm not sure he's going to fit so well once both guys are playing with Kawhi and Paul George, so I'm going to go with Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie's a good pick. How much did he average last year? Do you remember?
I think he was at 15 or 16 a game.
So you think he's going to average more than that, eh?
I do. I think he's going to get a little bit better this year, and I think he's going to get even more touches because they run a ton of pick and roll in Brooklyn. That's why I think Kyrie's going to be so good this year, too. I think Kyrie's going to average like at least 26 points a game.
Kyrie's going to feast.
Yeah.
All right, Raj, who you got?
I hate to say this, but I have to agree with Josh. I think Dinwiddie's going to have a great year for all the reasons he said, and especially with KD being out, they need more scoring, and he has that experience. He's worked with this team, familiar environment, and hopefully he stays healthy, and I think he's going to be a lock to win this. Not lock, but he's going to be the favorite to win this award, and obviously Lou Williams is going to be in the running.
Man, I think Lou is definitely done this year. Spencer Dinwiddie is a good pick. I'm not going to lie. He's probably my top candidate as well. But just for the sake of argument, I'm going to go with let's go with Derrick Rose. Oh, God.
Yeah, like, can we end
what
this?
Are you doing?
Yeah, like, no, I'm sorry. That was just a troll move. It's going to be Dinwiddie. I don't see anyone else. Maybe Van Vliet, maybe Bogdanovic in Sacramento. I like him coming off the bench as like a major scorer. I think he could lead the team a lot of nights in scoring if they really unleash him. We saw what he did during the World Cup this year. I mean, that guy could not miss a shot. So if the offense,
I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I think he's actually better than Buddy Hield.
He is. I don't know.
Buddy Hield's a really good shooter and everything, and I think they're around the same age, actually.
Yo, but no.
You're asking me who I won in the playoffs in a key game? I'm taking Bogdanovic.
Buddy Hield's like 32.
No, he isn't.
No, Buddy Hield is supposed to be 26.
I mean, he's already lied about his age once, right? So you never know.
I totally agree. Buddy Hield is supposed to be 26. Yeah, Bogdanovic is 27. Bogdanovic is 27? Damn.
Yeah.
Wow, he came
in the league at 25.
Wow, no kidding. Yeah, okay, I guess we're around the same age. I think Bogdanovic has
a
better...
We need a 30 for 30 on what happened before the draft of Buddy Hield's age. Because he said he was one age, and then, like, I think 3 years later, somebody debunked it, and they found that he was, like, 2 years older.
Yeah, and he was like, oh,
like,
yeah.
How do you get that wrong? Like, you know what age you are, don't you?
He's like, no, I never hid my age.
Why would you lie about that?
It's always been on my driver's license. Get out of here, bro. Come on.
Surprised nobody's found out about Serge yet, but that's probably coming.
No, Serge is too old. It doesn't matter anymore. Past his prime.
Yeah, nobody cares about him anymore.
Who is a better defender, Bogdanovic or Hield?
Neither.
Fine. Playmaker? Oof.
Bogdanovic.
Shooter?
Yeah, Hield, I guess.
So, yeah, okay. I think Bogdanovic could still win it. He's like my dark horse candidate, but I think Spencer's going to take this one.
Sacramento has so many guys in their team, though. That's the only issue.
Yeah, they're a mess.
And also, they're not gonna be a top team. Like, they'll be a fringe team in the playoffs. So they don't get the same hype as the Nets will if you're talking about narrative.
All right. For Coach of the Year, since I've already said that Nikola Jokic is going to be my MVP, I'm going with Mike Malone to be the Coach of the Year. Denver Nuggets are surging up. Last year, they had the second best record in the West. West is obviously more competitive this year, but this team has the most continuity out of anyone. Their young guys are just growing up a bit as the days go on. They're going to keep getting better, and I like the Nuggets to steal that first place with Malone leading the charge.
Yeah, I feel like I have no original ideas, but I think Mike Malone's going to win Coach of the Year. I think the Nuggets are destined to be one of the better regular season teams. They have a continuity. And I think this year they're gonna play a little more like established, like they're expected to win. Last year, they kind of took the league by surprise, and because they were a fringe team the year before, and now they're established, I think they're gonna get a bit more recognition on the big stage. And I think he's gonna do a good job balancing the minutes, getting them ready for the playoffs, and they're probably gonna be a top three team in the West.
As much as I want to pick Coach Snyder from Utah, because I think they're gonna be a top two seed in the Western Conference, I'm gonna stick with the Philly theme, and I'm gonna choose Coach Brett Brown.
Yo, come on, are you serious?
If they win 60 games this year, he is definitely going to win Coach of the Year, and I think they're actually gonna be a pretty dominant regular season team. So. Give me that narrative.
Oh my
yes, Philadelphia.
God.
They are going to be the best team in the NBA this year, regular season-wise, and he's going to win Coach of the Year.
But they have one of the, but they're going to have one of the better rosters. I feel that like when you're looking for Coach of the Year, you're looking for a coach that, yes, obviously if he has a very good roster and they win a lot of games, they're going to be in the running, but that surpassed expectations or like took their teams to like a new heights, or they did well for what they have. I think people are going to look at like Philly and be like, any dumbass can coach this team to like 55 wins, 50 wins.
I think they're going to be a historically great defensive team though. And I think if they're that dominant in the regular season, he's going to get a lot of praise.
No, I can see that. Sure. I just think that like, because the expectations are for them to be one of the top two teams, I feel, there's not very much better that he could do, but there's a lot worse that could happen. And I feel people are sleeping on the Nuggets this year. Like I think everyone's talking about the Lakers, the Clippers, the Rockets. Some people want to talk about the Utah Jazz because they made some big fancy moves this offseason. But I think the team that no one's talking about is the team that's going to end up being one of the better teams in the West in the regular season.
Yeah, Josh.
Go Nuggets.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't pick like James Ennis or Kylo Quinn for your sixth man.
Maybe I'll choose Matisse Thybulle. I should have made him my rookie of the year, too.
Ooh. Is he your rookie of the year?
He is not.
Oh, that's disappointing. Who's your rookie of the year?
Well, I'm going to go the other way because I know you both are going to pick Zion. I'm picking Ja Morant. I don't think Zion's going to play that much this year. I'm convinced this knee issue is a lot more serious. Because whenever you hear about these reports where the guy is only expected to miss, like, you know, a day or so, or he's day-to-day, and then it becomes something else 2 days later, you know it's a lot more serious than they're saying it is. So I don't think he's going to play enough games to be Rookie of the Year.
How many games do you think he plays?
He's going to play 47 games.
Wow, that's a lot of games missed.
That boy's got some weight on him, man. He needs to lose some weight.
He used to go swimming once in a while.
You see that video of Taco Fall in the swimming pool?
No.
He went for swimming lessons. It was incredible. He took up the entire pool, and the pool was huge.
Yeah, good for him, man. Yeah, learning how to swim as an adult is not easy.
You still don't know how to, right?
Nope.
Yo, two-thirds of this podcast would drown.
Woo! I ain't alone, thank God. Taking y'all with me. Raj, are you going to go with Zion?
It's hard not to. I think like it's his to lose. Let me get back to you. I actually do think, I kind of agree with Josh. I think the injuries and will catch up to Zion, and I feel there's a lot of expectations. So I think there might be another rookie, but I got to think through this rookie class one more time. So I'll let you take a pick.
All right. Well, I mean, the natural pick would be Zion. He's obviously the new almost the new face of the league, right? Not even just the Pelicans at this point, but I mean, we talked a lot about his injury history. Can we talk about some positives here? I mean, he's obviously a freak athlete. He's coming in at, is he 6'5 or 6'7? Something like that?
6'7, I think.
Yeah. He can basically tear down the rim at that point. His wingspan is very
Can we talk about that for a second?
What?
Kevin Durant is apparently 6'9.5. Okay. Like, who is he paying?
What?
Like, we've seen photos with him and like next to DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan's at least 6'11. He's taller than him. I just don't get what's going on in the NBA.
What, is that the new measurement for KD?
Yeah, like 2 days ago, they came out with the reports, and they finally said that KD was 6'9.5.
Another one?
Yeah, this is like that. Remember the Trump doctor who said that he was like fully healthy and he was in shape? That's what's going on here with the hype. But anyways, let's go back to
the review. Oh my god, that's ridiculous. Zion. Sorry, that was weird. So Zion's listed at 6'7". He's obviously a freak athlete. He's a monster. The most impressive thing I've seen out of him this, I guess, over the summer and in preseason is that he went up against Rudy Gobert. Obviously, the Jazz aren't going to really lock down on defense in preseason. But he looked pretty good, right? Like, he was shifty. He could maneuver around the rim. He didn't just try to overpower people like trying to make moves around guys, which is, it's pretty promising for a younger player like that. He's a lot more than just like a freak athlete like Stromile Swift was.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Julius Randle in the early years when he's around the basket, except Randle didn't really throw up shots to actually make them. He would just throw them up to go get it. Whereas Zion, like, he positions his bodies in ways that you really only see with guys like LeBron. And his touch around the basket, despite being in the air for 10 seconds and contorting his body like that, is like really good.
Yeah.
5 feet in, which you almost never see.
After all that Zion praise, I think you have to choose Zion Williamson logically. Like, if I was going to lay down money, I'm taking Zion. But low key, I really like Tyler Hero at Miami. That dude shoot.
No.
Oh my God. I'm not taking him. Obviously, I'm not putting money on this guy. But that guy can gun. Holy.
His shot is a lot like Zach LaVine's. It's sort of scary.
I think it's,
I mean, they both jump really high and their release point is like,
yeah.
It's very nice.
Except Hero is a little bit more like robotic. LaVine is a very fluid player. You know what I mean? Like his moves, his crossover, it's very like, it's fluid. I don't know how else to describe it. He's very Seattle. Hero is just like a robot when he shoots. Like he's up, high elevation, high release point, bang. And that's it. And he gets hyped up. He gets a crowd into it. Man, I love this dude. He could be one of my favorite players. I
appreciate the cockiness.
Too. Yeah, I like that. Why not? It's preseason, man. Get hype.
Yeah, that team is going to be team bully with him and Jimmy Butler just talking shit to everybody.
Would you like it if I laughed at your misfortune? Huh? Maybe we should find out. Now march. Hey, everybody, look at this. It's that boy who laughs at everyone. Let's laugh at him. Wave to the people. Blow them kisses.
It's going to be great. And your boy, Myers Leonard.
He actually talks a lot of smack for a guy that's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, I got to love Myers Leonard.
All right, Raj, you finally got your pick?
I'm gonna go with Ja Morant. I think he's going to be afforded lots of opportunities. I feel like I'm just picking up on your coattails, but he's going to get a lot of opportunities. The Grizzlies are going to play a lot of young guys, and there's going to be a lot of mistakes, but I think stats-wise, he's gonna have good stats because he's going to be playing a lot, and he'll have the keys, and I think they're gonna showcase that they have talent, and I think he's going to show why he was the second overall pick in the NBA draft.
He's young Chris Paul. Like, the way he's able to get in the lane and make these absolutely crazy passes as a 19-year-old. And he's actually pretty good off the dribble in terms of shooting the ball, too. He's got some moves. So, I think he's going to be a top 5 point guard in, like, 2 years.
Wow. High praise, man. Yeah, you said SGA is the new Chris Paul. What the hell?
Well, there's room for 2, right?
There can only be 1 Chris Paul.
And I also said Nikhil Alexander Walker's going to be in the Hall of Fame, so I'm all about these young point guards.
Apparently. All right, the last major...
I stand by that, by the way.
What? Which one?
Nah's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, sure.
Nahoff.
All right, let's take on the last of these, I guess, important awards. The most improved player. This one's always a weird one. Because a lot of the times it just means, hey, this guy's getting a lot more run. So, I don't know if you think it's just going to be a guy who gets more playing time, a guy who's going to increase the scoring because of the situation. The floor is yours. Let's go with Josh.
I haven't really done a lot of research into this award, to be honest, but just from looking at, you know, our fantasy draft yesterday, the guy that stood out to me the most was Bam Adebayo, because he's going to have a real opportunity to play like at least 30 minutes a game.
Hell yeah.
And he was really good last year when he played and played extended minutes. Just a matter of keeping out of foul trouble for him. But he's really good on defense. He's really strong for a guy that's, you know, 6'9", maybe 6'10". His body reminds me a lot of like Dwight Howard. He doesn't have the same type of physicality in terms of just bodying people. But he's getting a lot of opportunity on rolls to the basket. He's a good passer, too. He's just a good all-around player, and I think that he's going to put up a double-double, and people are going to be like, oh, where did this guy come from?
He's also got a wicked name. Bam. Absolutely. Every time he scores, they should play Bam Bam Bigelow's theme song.
That'd be awesome.
He's getting a double-double. They'll play that song a bit too often for my liking.
True. All right, Raj, who you got?
I'm pretty high on Marvin Bagley. I think he's going to, especially early on last year, I don't think he got his opportunity as a fourth overall pick in last year's draft, or the year before, sorry. And I think this year he's going to be starting games. He'll have more opportunity to like actually showcase his talent. And I think that team's going to be running a lot. They'll be playing a style that works well with him, and I think he can put up great numbers, and I can see him being considered for one of the most improved players of the year.
There should be a rule in place that second-year guy should not be able to win that award.
How many years in is Bam?
Bam is in his third or fourth year.
Okay. Third or fourth, yeah.
Because, like, you expect a guy that's a rookie to start to understand what he needs to do in the league based off experience and then come back in the second year and be at least, you know, a little bit better, if not a lot better.
You would hope so. But at least Begley's got all the right signs. Right? Like,
yeah, he's I mean, I said before the draft that he reminds me of Chris Bosh a lot. And I still stand by it. I think he's going to be a really good defensive player in the future. It's going to take him, like, probably 4 or 5 years to figure everything out. But offensively, he has everything in the bag. Sorry.
Lol.
Oh, man. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, of course you didn't. Okay, do you want to hear a really annoying one or, like, a semi-accurate one?
I can imagine the annoying one because I thought it, too.
Who?
Scary Terry.
Yeah. Oh, no. My God.
No. You cannot also win most improved player when you go to a team that's going to win like 20 games. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's one of those like bad player, bad team, but has to, like, someone has to put up stats.
Good stats, bad team guy. I just wanted to recognize it because you know Terry's going to drop at least like 20 points a game on, you know, 3 assists, 42% shooting. Some awful numbers, but he's going to get a lot of points.
I know a lot of his points are going to come against the second unit, too. Like, he's going to have, like 13, maybe, like, 17 points going into the fourth, and the other team's, like, winning by, like, 20. And he's going to destroy those second stringers.
He's like, no, coach, I gotta do this, man. I need this.
Yeah, it's going to get us in motion.
All right.
That team is going to have one of the worst offenses of the last 30 years.
It's going to be hilarious to watch. Like, not that I'm going to watch any of their games. I don't think I can, but theoretically, it would be hilarious to watch.
Who's worse to watch, Cleveland or Charlotte?
Ooh.
Cleveland.
Charlotte.
I don't know about that.
At least Cleveland still has Kevin Love.
And, like, Seti Osman.
What? You enjoy watching him, huh?
Well, I had him on my fantasy. I care to get 0 players from Charlotte on my roster. Like, maybe Mikal Bridges, but that's it.
I
guess Cleveland having, like, Darius Garland, too, makes them more exciting. I think he's going to be really good.
Is he going to play a lot this year, you think? Garland?
I think at the end of the year, he's going to be playing over Sexton. I think they're going to trade Sexton either, like, at the trade deadline or in the offseason.
I thought they would just go 2-guard.
No, you can't go 2 guards with those guys. Those guys are too small.
Yeah, they're similar too.
Oh, really?
They're
I thought
both scoring guards.
I thought Garland was taller. No?
Garland's 6'5", but, I mean, you can't really expect him to be guarding shooting guards until maybe, what, year 4 or 5?
Nah, man. You just throw him in there and see what happens. Let him learn.
Man, I hope they don't ruin him.
Yeah. My pick for the most improved, Josh, is your boy, Brandon Ingram.
No,
I'm totally kidding. Do not give me
with all the jokes. Hey?
Yeah, I'm following him. I actually like Thomas.
I have
Bryant.
Some very important news before you go. Actually,
okay.
Bam Adebayo's name, his real name is Idris Femi.
Well, that's a great name.
I did not know that.
It's a great name. It's also great that Bam is just sticking.
Actually, on Basketball Reference, his name is actually Bam Bam, comma Bam.
What?
Yeah. Bam 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 Adebayo.
No, there's no way. You're lying.
Look it up.
I am.
Bam Bam Bam.
What?
Not just one.
No. Those are his nicknames. The ones in the brackets are his nicknames on Basketball Reference.
Nah, whatever. I didn't know that.
His name is Bam Bam or Bam. His name is Bam Bam Bam. After you just said his name is Idris Femi Adebayo, his actual name is Bam Bam Bam. He's from the Flintstones.
Maybe.
This guy, man. Can I do my pick now?
Let's hear it.
Thomas Bryant out of Washington.
Oh, get out of here. End the pod now.
Nah, I can see it.
Yeah, are you serious? Now he's not going to have Dwight to start the year in front of him, so he's going to be the only set. He's literally the only center on the team. He's probably the second best player.
Will the media recognize that he exists?
He's irrelevant.
That's true.
He's probably going to put up 20-10 this year just because of how bad they are, but I don't know if the media is going to actually realize who Thomas Bryant is.
Okay.
He sounds like a scholar.
Okay, fine. The media pick is going to be Lonzo Ball. How How about that? No,
that's not happening.
Lonzo with a semi-decent jump shot this year. We get lots of...
I like how everyone's saying like how pretty it looks, and it does look pretty nice, but
it doesn't
does it actually go in?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't actually look good. It just looks less bad.
Yeah, he's shooting it from the center instead of the left side of his head.
Yeah, but it's still not like a smooth stroke, and it's still inconsistent. Yeah. Like, it's definitely an improvement, which is great. Like, obviously, you want to see the guy improve, but it's not like an amazing-looking shot. Like, let's be real here.
He's probably still going to average like 9 points on 33% three-point shooting. It's a step up from what he did last year.
Then 30% three-point shooting?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, I'm either picking Lonzo or... Who else did I say? Thomas Bryant.
You already forgot about him, see?
Man,
I
hate
if you can't remember his name, how's the media?
This award is so trash. I actually hate this award. It's the most, I guess, subjective award that you can have. You know what I mean? Every year, it's like it's always some random guy who's in his second year or just gets more playing time. Like, I could see Jason Tatum winning it just because he's going to get a lot more touches this year. But realistically, yeah. He's probably the same player.
Same with Thomas Bryant, too.
Yeah. That's why I think Lonzo Ball. You see that jump shot improvement. Same with Markelle Fultz, you know?
Please.
Thomas Bryant can't win the award because he doesn't have a nickname.
Oh, boring.
Thomas.
Thomas.
Tom.
Tom. That could be a great name.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all we got? Ooh, random one. Who's going to win scoring champ?
I'm tempted to pick Kyrie, to be honest, but it's probably going to be Harden.
Raj?
I'm going to say Harden.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be Harden.
It's definitely going to be Harden. But.
Okay, who's going to be second? That's a better question.
Steph.
Okay, who's going to be third? That's a better question. I forgot about Steph.
Yeah.
Who's going to be third?
Kyrie.
It's either Kyrie or low-key Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
Like, Zach LaVine's going to get buckets, boy! Oh my goodness, he's going to kill it this year.
He's a definite second-round pick in fantasy.
Well, I don't know about that, but...
I think he's late second.
I mean, if he's averaging 28 points a game, then he's probably going to be second or third round.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, you're right. So we'd like.
And remember, I'm the one that called them for making the playoffs before anybody else in the summertime. Just remember that.
All right, we heard you.
I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but he's going to be great. He's going to be very fun to watch.
Seems solid, man.
I love watching that guy since he won the dunk contest the first time around. He's got a smooth stroke, man. He's a good player. All right, I think that's all the time we've got for this week. I want to thank you for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can hit us up on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, Google Play, all the major podcast platforms. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace. You got for this one?
For six men, it's difficult. There's a lot of guys out there actually this year. There's Dinwiddie. I think Gordon Hayward's going to be a candidate. Jeremy Grant in Denver. Bogdanovich, Sacramento. But ultimately, I'm going to go with Dinwiddie. Because they need guys that are able to like make plays off the dribble with KD being out, obviously. And he's probably going to be their third option behind LeVert. But he's going to play a lot this year, and he had a great year last year, and I think that he's going to score a ton of points this year. He might average like around 20 points a game, and I don't think Lou Williams is going to be the conversation this year because I think the Clippers are going to play him less, especially against the good teams where they need defensive backcourt, especially in the key moments of the game. And I'm not sure he's going to fit so well once both guys are playing with Kawhi and Paul George, so I'm going to go with Dinwiddie.
Dinwiddie's a good pick. How much did he average last year? Do you remember?
I think he was at 15 or 16 a game.
So you think he's going to average more than that, eh?
I do. I think he's going to get a little bit better this year, and I think he's going to get more touches because they run a ton of pick and roll in Brooklyn. That's why I think Kyrie's going to be so good this year, too. I think Kyrie's going to average like at least 26 points a game.
Kyrie's going to feast.
Yeah.
All right, Raj, who you got?
I hate to say this, but I have to agree with Josh. I think Dinwiddie's going to have a great year for all the reasons he said. And especially with KD being out, they need more scoring. And he has that experience. He's worked with this team, familiar environment. And hopefully he stays healthy. And I think he's going to be a lock to win this. Not lock, but he's going to be the favorite to win this award. And obviously, Lou Williams is going to be in the running.
Man. I think Lou is definitely done this year. Spencer Dinwiddie is a good pick. I'm not going to lie. He's probably my top candidate as well. But just for the sake of argument, I'm going to go with... let's go with Derrick Rose. Oh,
God. Yeah, like, can we end
what
this?
Are you doing?
Yeah, like... No, I'm sorry. That was just a troll move. It's going to be Dinwiddie. I don't see anyone else. Maybe Van Vliet. Maybe Bogdanovich in Sacramento. I like him coming off the bench as like a major scorer. I think he could lead the team a lot of nights in scoring if they really unleash him. We saw what he did during the World Cup this year. I mean, that guy could not miss a shot. So if the offense,
I know it's an unpopular opinion, but I think he's actually better than Buddy Hield.
He is. I don't know.
Buddy Hield's a really good shooter and everything, and I think they're around the same age actually.
Yo, but no.
You're asking me who I want in the playoffs in a key game? I'm taking Bogdanovich.
Buddy Hield's like 32.
No, he isn't.
No, Buddy Hield is supposed to be 26.
I mean, he's already lied about his age once, right? So you never know.
I totally agree. Buddy Hield is supposed to be 26. Yeah, Bogdanovich is 27. Bogdanovich is 27? Damn.
Yeah.
Wow, he came in
the league at 25.
Wow, no kidding. Yeah, okay, I guess we're around the same age. I think Bogdanovich has
a
better...
We need a 30 for 30 on what happened before the draft of Buddy Hield's age. Because he said he was one age, and then like I think 3 years later, somebody debunked it, and they found that he was like 2 years older.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, yeah.
How do you get that wrong? Like, you know what age you are, don't you?
He's like, no, I never hid my age.
Why would you lie about that?
It's always been on my driver's license. Get out of here, bro. Come on.
Surprised nobody's found out about Serge yet, but that's probably coming.
Nah, Serge is too old. It doesn't matter anymore. Past his prime.
Yeah, nobody cares about him anymore.
Who is a better defender, Bogdanovich or Hield?
Neither.
Fine. Playmaker?
Bogdanovich.
Shooter?
Yeah, Hield, I guess.
So, yeah, okay. I think Bogdanovich could still win it. He's like my dark horse candidate, but I think Spencer's going to take this one.
Sacramento has so many guys in their team, though. That's the only issue.
Yeah, they're a mess.
And also, they're not gonna be a top team. Like, they'll be a fringe team in the playoffs, so... They don't get the same hype as the Nets will if you're talking about narrative.
All right. For Coach of the Year, since I've already said that Nikola Jokic is going to be my MVP, I'm going with Mike Malone to be the Coach of the Year. Denver Nuggets are surging up. Last year, they had the second best record in the West. West is obviously more competitive this year, but this team has the most continuity out of anyone. Their young guys are just... growing up a bit as the days go on, they're going to keep getting better, and I like the Nuggets to steal that first place with Malone leading the charge.
Yeah, I feel like I have no original ideas, but I think Mike Malone's going to win Coach of the Year. I think the Nuggets are destined to be one of the better regular season teams. They have a continuity, and I think this year they're going to play a little more like established, like they're expected to win. Last year, they kind of took the league by surprise, and because they were a fringe team the year before, and now they're established, I think they're going to get a bit more recognition on the big stage, and I think he's going to do a good job balancing the minutes, getting them ready for the playoffs, and they're probably going to be a top three team in the West.
As much as I want to pick Coach Snyder from Utah, because I think they're going to be a top two seed in the Western Conference, I'm going to stick with the Philly theme, and I'm going to choose Coach Brett Brown.
Yo, come on. Are you serious?
If they win 60 games this year, he is definitely going to win Coach of the Year, and I think they're actually going to be a pretty dominant regular season team. So give me that narrative.
Oh
yes,
my
Philadelphia.
God.
They are going to be the best team in the NBA this year, regular season-wise, and he's going to win Coach of the Year.
But they have one of the... But they're going to have one of the better rosters. I feel that like when... You're looking for Coach of the Year. You're looking for a coach that, yes, obviously, if he has a very good roster and they win a lot of games, they're going to be in the running, but that surpassed expectations or took their teams to like a new heights, or they did well for what they have. I think people are going to look at like Philly and be like, any dumbass can coach this team to like 55 wins, 50 wins.
I think they're going to be a historically great defensive team, though. And I think if they're that dominant in the regular season, he's going to get a lot of praise.
No, I can see that. Sure. I just think that like, because the expectations are for them to be one of the top two teams, I feel there's not very much better that he could do, but there's a lot worse that could happen. And I feel people are sleeping on the Nuggets this year. Like, I think everyone's talking about the Lakers, the Clippers, the Rockets. Some people want to talk about the Utah Jazz because they made some big fancy moves this offseason. But I think the team that no one's talking about is the team that's going to end up being one of the best, better teams in the West in the regular season.
Yeah, Josh.
Go Nuggets.
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't pick like James Ennis or Kylo Quinn for your sixth man.
Maybe I'll choose Matisse Thybulle. I should have made him my rookie of the year too.
Ooh, is he your rookie of the year?
He is not.
Oh, that's disappointing. Who's your rookie of the year?
Well, I'm going to go the other way because I know you both are going to pick Zion. I'm picking John Morant. I don't think Zion's going to play that much this year. I'm convinced this knee issue is a lot more serious. Because whenever you hear about these reports where the guy is only expected to miss, like, you know, a day or so, or he's day-to-day, and then it becomes something else 2 days later, you know it's a lot more serious than they're saying it is. So I don't think he's going to play enough games to be Rookie of the Year.
How many games do you think he plays?
He's going to play 47 games.
Wow. That's a lot of games missed.
That boy's got some weight on him, man. He needs to lose some weight.
He used to go swimming once in a while.
You see that video of Taco Fall in the swimming pool?
No.
He went for swimming lessons. It was incredible. He took up the entire pool, and the pool was huge.
Yeah, good for him, man. Yeah, learning how to swim as an adult is not easy.
You still don't know how to, right?
Nope.
Yo, 2/3 of this podcast would drown.
Woo! I ain't alone, thank God. Taking y'all with me. Rush, are you gonna go with Zion?
It's hard not to. I think like it's his to lose. Let me get back to you. I actually do think I kind of agree with Josh. I think the injuries and will catch up to Zion, and I feel there's a lot of expectations, so I think there might be another rookie, but I got to think through this rookie class one more time, so I'll let you take a pick.
All right, well, I mean, the natural pick would be Zion. He's obviously the new almost the new face of the league, right? Not even just the Pelicans at this point, but I mean, have we talked a lot about his injury history. Can we talk about some positives here? I mean, he's obviously a freak athlete. He's coming in at... Is he 6'5 or 6'7? Something like that?
6'7, I think.
Yeah. He can basically tear down the rim at that point. His wingspan is very
can we talk about that for a second?
What?
Kevin Durant is apparently 6'9.5. Okay. Like, who is he paying?
What?
Like, we've seen photos with him and like next to DeAndre Jordan. DeAndre Jordan's at least 6'11. He's taller than him. I just don't get what's going on in the NBA.
What? Is that the new measurement for KD?
Yeah, like 2 days ago, they came out with the reports, and they finally said that KD was 6'9.5.
Another one?
Yeah, this is like that. Remember the Trump doctor who said that he was like fully healthy and he was in shape? That's what's going on here with the hype. But anyways, let's go back to
Oh my god, that's ridiculous. Zion. Sorry, that was weird. So Zion's listed at 6'7". He's obviously a freak athlete. He's a monster. The most impressive thing I've seen out of him this, I guess, over the summer and in preseason is that he went up against Rudy Gobert. Obviously, the Jazz aren't going to really lock down on defense in preseason, but he looked pretty good, right? Like, he was shifty. He could maneuver around the rim. He didn't just try to overpower people. Like, he tried to make moves around guys, which is, it's pretty promising for a younger player like that. He's a lot more than just like a freak athlete like Stromile Swift was.
Yeah, he reminds me a lot of Julius Randle in the early years when he's around the basket, except Randle didn't really throw up shots to actually make them. He would just throw them up to go get it. Whereas Zion, like, he positions his body in ways that you really only see with guys like LeBron. And his touch around the basket, despite being in the air for 10 seconds, and contorting his body like that is like really good.
Yeah.
5 feet in, which you almost never see.
After all that Zion praise, I think you have to choose Zion Williamson logically. Like, if I was going to lay down money, I'm taking Zion. But low key, I really like Tyler Hero at Miami. That dude shoot.
No.
Oh my God. I'm not taking him. Obviously, I'm not putting money on this guy. But that guy can gun. Holy.
His shot is a lot like Zach LaVine's. It's sort of scary.
I think it's...
I mean, they both jump really high and their release point is like...
Yeah.
It's very nice.
Except Hero is a little bit more like robotic. LaVine is a very fluid player. You know what I mean? Like his moves, his crossover, it's very like... It's fluid. I don't know how else to describe it. He's very Seattle. Hero is just like a robot when he shoots. Like, he's up. High elevation, high release point, bang. And that's it. And he gets hyped up. He gets a crowd into it. Man, I love this dude. He could be one of my favorite players. I
appreciate the cockiness.
Too. Yeah, I like that. Why not? It's preseason, man. Get hype.
Yeah, that team is going to be Team Bully with him and Jimmy Butler just talking shit to everybody.
Would you like it if I laughed at your misfortune? Huh? Maybe we should find out. Now, march. Hey, everybody, look at this. It's that boy who laughs at everyone. Let's laugh at him. Wave to the people. Blow them kisses.
It's going to be great. And your boy, Myers Leonard.
He actually talks a lot of smack for a guy that's terrible.
Yeah. Oh, I gotta love Myers Leonard.
All right, Raj, you finally got your pick?
I'm gonna go with Ja Morant. I think he's gonna be afforded lots of opportunities. I feel like I'm just picking up on your coattails, but he's gonna get a lot of opportunities. The Grizzlies are gonna play a lot of young guys, and there's gonna be a lot of mistakes, but I think stats-wise, he's gonna have good stats because he's gonna be playing a lot and he'll have the keys, and I think they're gonna showcase that they have talent, and I think he's gonna show why he was the second overall pick in the NBA draft.
He's young Chris Paul. Like, the way he's able to get in the lane and make these absolutely crazy passes as a 19-year-old. And he's actually pretty good off the dribble in terms of shooting the ball too. He's got some moves. So I think he's gonna be a top 5 point guard in like 2 years.
Wow. High praise, man. Yeah, you said SGA is the new Chris Paul. What the hell?
Well, there's room for two, right?
There can only be one Chris Paul.
And I also said Nikhil Alexander-Walker's going to be in the Hall of Fame, so I'm all about these young point guards.
Apparently. All right, the last major...
I stand by that, by the way.
What? Which one?
Nah's going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Oh, sure.
Nahoff.
All right, let's take on the last of these, I guess, important awards. The most improved player. This one's always a weird one. Because a lot of the times it just means, hey, this guy's getting a lot more run. So, I don't know if you think it's just going to be a guy who gets more playing time, a guy who's going to increase the scoring because of the situation. The floor is yours. Let's go with Josh.
I haven't really done a lot of research into this award, to be honest, but just from looking at, you know, our fantasy draft yesterday, the guy that stood out to me the most was Bam Adebayo, because he's going to have a real opportunity to play like at least 30 minutes a game.
Hell yeah.
And he was really good last year when he played and played extended minutes, just a matter of keeping out of foul trouble for him. But he's really good on defense. He's really strong for a guy that's, you know, 6'9", maybe 6'10". His body reminds me a lot of like Dwight Howard. He doesn't have the same type of physicality in terms of just bodying people, but he's getting a lot of opportunity on rolls to the basket. He's a good passer too. He's just a good all-around player, and I think he's going to put up a double-double, and people are going to be like, oh, where did this guy come from?
He's also got a wicked name.
Bam. Absolutely.
Every time he scores, they should play Bam Bam Bigelow's theme song.
That'd be awesome.
He's getting a double-double. They'll play that song a bit too often for my liking.
True. All right, Raj, who you got?
I'm pretty high on Marvin Bagley. I think he's going to, especially early on last year, I don't think he got his opportunity as a fourth overall pick in last year's draft, or the year before, sorry. And I think this year he's going to be starting games. He'll have more opportunity to like actually showcase his talent. And I think that team's going to be running a lot. They'll be playing a style that works well with him. And I think he can put up great numbers. And I can see him being considered for one of the most improved players of the year.
There should be a rule in place that second-year guy should not be able to win that award.
How many years in is Bam?
Bam is in his third or fourth year.
Okay. Third or fourth, yeah.
Because like you expect a guy that's a rookie to start to understand what he needs to do in the league based off experience, and then come back in the second year and be at least, you know, a little bit better, if not a lot better.
You would hope so. But at least Bagley's got all the right signs. Right, like,
yeah, I said before the draft that he reminds me of Chris Bosch a lot. And I still stand by it. I think he's going to be a really good defensive player in the future. It's going to take him like probably 4 or 5 years to figure everything out. But offensively, he has everything in the bag. Sorry.
Lol.
Oh, man. I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, of course you didn't. Okay, do you want to hear a really annoying one or like a semi-accurate one?
I can imagine the annoying one because I thought it too.
Who?
Scary Terry.
Yeah. My God.
No. You cannot also win most improved player when you go to a team that's going to win like 20 games. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's one of those like bad player, bad team, but has to, like, someone has to put up stats.
Good stats, bad team guy. I just wanted to recognize it because you know Terry's going to drop at least like 20 points a game on, you know, 3 assists, 42% shooting. Some awful numbers, but he's going to get a lot of points.
I know a lot of his points are going to come against the second unit, too. Like, he's going to have, like 13, maybe, like, 17 points going into the fourth, and the other team's, like, winning by, like, 20. He's going to destroy those second stringers.
He's like, no, coach, I gotta do this, man. I need this.
Yeah, it's going to get us in motion.
All right.
That team is going to have one of the worst offenses of the last 30 years.
It's going to be hilarious to watch. Like, not that I'm going to watch any of their games. I don't think I can, but theoretically, it would be hilarious to watch.
Who's worse to watch, Cleveland or Charlotte?
Ooh.
Cleveland.
Charlotte.
I don't know about that.
At least Cleveland still has Kevin Love.
And, like, Seti Osman.
What? You enjoy watching him, huh?
Well, I had him on my fantasy. I care to get zero players from Charlotte on my roster. Like, maybe Mikal Bridges, but that's it.
I
guess Cleveland having, like, Darius Garland, too, makes them more exciting. I think he's going to be really good.
Is he going to play a lot this year, you think? Garland?
I think at the end of the year, he's going to be playing over Sexton. Yeah. I think they're going to trade Sexton either, like, at the trade deadline or in the offseason.
I thought they would just go two guard.
No, you can't go two guards with those guys. Those guys are too small.
Yeah, they're similar, too.
Oh, really?
Like, I thought both scoring guards.
I thought Garland was taller. No?
Garland's 6'5", but, I mean, you can't really expect him to be guarding shooting guards until maybe, what, year 4 or 5?
Nah, man. You just throw him in there and see what happens. Let him learn.
Man, I hope they don't ruin him.
Yeah. My pick for the most improved, Josh, is your boy, Brandon Ingram.
No,
I'm totally kidding. Do not give me
with all the jokes. Hey?
Yeah, I'm following. I actually like Thomas.
I have
Bryant.
Some very important news before you go. Actually, Bam Adebayo's name, his real name is Idris Femi.
Well, that's a great name.
I did not know that.
It's a great name. It's also great that Bam is just sticking.
Actually, on Basketball Reference, his name is actually Bam Bam, comma Bam.
What?
Yeah. Bam, 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 Adebayo.
No, there's no way. You're lying.
Look it up.
I am.
Bam, bam, bam.
What?
Not just one.
No. Those are his nicknames. The ones in the brackets are his nicknames on Basketball Reference.
Nah, whatever. I didn't know that.
His name is Bam Bam or Bam. His name is Bam Bam Bam. After you just said his name is Idris Femi Adebayo, his actual name is Bam Bam Bam. He's from the Flintstones.
Maybe.
This guy, man. Can I do my pick now?
Let's hear it.
Thomas Bryant out of Washington.
Oh, get out of here. End the pod now.
Nah, I can see it.
Yeah, are you serious? Now he's not going to have Dwight to start the year in front of him, so he's going to be the only set. He's literally the only center on the team. He's probably the second best player.
Will the media recognize that he exists?
That's the only issue. He's irrelevant.
That's true.
He's probably going to put up 2010 this year just because of how bad they are, but I don't know if the media is going to actually realize who Thomas Bryant is. Okay. He sounds like a scholar.
Okay, fine. The media pick is going to be Lonzo Ball. How about that?
No, that's not happening.
Lonzo with a semi-decent jump shot this year. We get lots of...
I like how everyone's saying like how pretty it looks, and it does look pretty nice, but
it doesn't look...
actually go in.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't actually look good. It just looks less bad.
Yeah, he's shooting it from the center instead of the left side of his head.
Yeah, but it's still not like a smooth stroke, and it's still inconsistent. Yeah. Like, it's definitely an improvement, which is great. Like, obviously, you want to see the guy improve, but it's not like an amazing-looking shot. Like, let's be real here.
He's probably still going to average like 9 points on 33% three-point shooting, which is a step up from what he did last year.
Then 30% three-point shooting?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, well, I'm either picking Lonzo or... Who else did I say? Thomas Bryant.
You already forgot about him, see?
Man,
I mean,
hate
if you can't remember his name, how's the media?
This award is so trash. I actually hate this award. It's the most, I guess, subjective award that you can have. You know what I mean? Every year, it's like it's always some random guy who's in the second year or just gets more playing time. Like, I could see Jason Tatum winning it just because he's going to get a lot more touches this year. But realistically, yeah, he's probably the same player.
Same with Thomas Bryant, too.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why I think Lonzo Ball. You see that jump shot improvement. Same with Markel Fultz, you know?
Please.
Thomas Bryant can't win the award because he doesn't have a nickname.
Oh, boring.
Thomas.
Thomas.
Tom.
Tom. That could be a great name.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all we got? Ooh, a random one. Who's going to win scoring champ?
I'm tempted to pick Kyrie, to be honest, but it's probably going to be Harden.
Raj?
I'm going to say Harden.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be Harden.
It's definitely going to be Harden, but...
Okay, who's going to be second? That's a better question.
Steph.
Okay, who's going to be third? That's a better question. I forgot about Steph.
Yeah.
Who's going to be third?
Kyrie.
It's either Kyrie or low-key Zach LaVine.
Yeah.
Like, Zach LaVine's going to get buckets, boy. Oh, my goodness. He's going to kill it this year.
He's a definite second-round pick in fantasy.
Well, I don't know about that, but he's...
Yeah, I think he's late second.
I mean, if he's averaging 28 points a game, then he's probably going to be second or third round.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, you're right. So be like,
and remember, I'm the one that called them for making the playoffs before anybody else in the summertime. Just remember that.
All right, we heard you.
I don't know if they'll make the playoffs, but he's going to be great. He's going to be very fun to watch.
Seems solid, man.
I love watching that guy since he won the dunk contest the first time around. He's got a smooth stroke, man. He's a good player. All right, I think that's all the time we've got for this week. I want to thank you for listening. Please remember to rate and subscribe. You can hit us up on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Anchor, Google Play, all the major podcast platforms. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. And until next time, peace.